The Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Alan Committee, who is one of South Africa's best-loved comedians. What are you busy with? You're busy in Joburg at the moment, and then you're coming for the season to Cape Town to do your thing on stage. What's the latest show called?
We're 2 weeks away, Bruce, from A Planet Mirth, a funny look at everything in high definition. Ooh. So it's my take on kind of those Richard Attenborough magnificent Planet Earth, what's the new one, Blue Planet documentaries. And I guess
Can you do the voice? Can you do the voice?
Oh, I think everyone's done the voice, don't they? Sitting here opposite Bruce Whitfield, wild creature. Look at his mating habits behind the microphone. Wonderful. Look, oh, he's just nibbling away now at that microphone in a strange, pernicious way. Bruce Whitfield.
See, I'm not interrupting at all because it's true.
No, you've done very well. I think it's time for me to go. Thanks very much. It's been lovely to be here.
So that's what it is about. Planet Mirth is taking the mickey out of Planet Earth in a David Attenborough kind of way.
Well, yeah, and I guess also the last show I did, which I in fact just finished in Joburg now, Laughing Matters, kind of suggested that the world is currently in a kind of asylum, if you will, the madness. It just doesn't stop surprising us day in and day out. I think we can all agree on that. So maybe now it's time to take a little bit of a macro, micro look, if you will. Let's look at the big picture. Where's the world? Where have we come from and where are we going to? Because I think the incongruity is always in that relationship between the big and the small. So even if there was an apocalypse announced, I think some people will still be asking, do I need a jersey? Do you know what I mean? I need a jersey? Is it going to be cold out?
If you survive, it might be cold again one day.
Exactly. You've got to think of everything.
No, planning is important. Now, is comedy a well-paying gig in South Africa? Because you're a busy comedian.
Yeah. I suppose it is. There's been a huge explosion in the last, I'd say, 10 years, certainly in the kind of club circuit and the stand-up comics who are going out and working the corporate world. I think if the comics can traverse those two areas, i.e., kind of create and exercise their material out in the clubs, but then somehow work it in a way that they could then sell it to corporates, then I think there's some big money to be made for them, because obviously those corporate budgets are a lot bigger. But because there's such an explosion of young comics, there's also a kind of a dearth of clubs that can support all of them. And I guess in the kind of current financial climate we find ourselves in, luxury is the first thing that's going to go. So maybe less people are going out and watching live performances or going to the club. So, you know, I think some of the fees have dropped. So it's a kind of vicious circle. But I think I was pretty lucky when I started out, which was like late 90s, early 2000s, and I moved straight into theater comedy. I kind of found a nice little niche, and you know, I've been fairly fortunate in that I've sold comedy to theater audiences, which is a reasonably easier sell than, for example, a straight drama or something a little meatier.
Yeah, I mean, it's only you, and that's the thing about the...
Well, that's it, yeah. No overheads.
And if they love exactly. you, but if they love you, they keep coming, and they do.
Correct.
Which is good. And then, of course, the corporate gigs are a biggie, which is nice. Or you could get yourself an American TV chat show.
Well, look, that does help as well. I keep offering, and they keep turning me down.
Oh, they can't have...
I know.
It's a quota thing. We can't have too many South Africans.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what it is. What's your earliest memory of money? Was the committee householder with golden taps?
We were platinum baths. I would say we were a low to poor income house. My dad was in the Navy, worked as an electrician, and my mom was a housewife. But we never felt like we were poor. It was interesting because I think my parents were very practical with money, but also very careful. And so that's, if anything, I would describe myself as quite conservative with money because of that. We were brought up where luxury was really a luxury, and it was something that you looked forward to, and it was a treat. But it wasn't expected. And so my earliest memories of money, for example, was before we moved to Cape Town, we stayed in Van der Bell Park. All right, settle down. It's a lovely area when they finish it.
Look, one day... after the apocalypse.
Exactly. So growing up in Van der Bell Park, I was a huge comic book fan. And I remember getting, I think it was like 50 cents a week, maybe every 2 weeks. And I knew it took two bouts of pocket money to get me a comic book that I could get from the second.
What comic?
Oh, I was a big DC comic fan. So everything from Superman and Green Lantern was a huge favorite. Justice League, I actually got to see the movie last week, which was a bit of a disappointment, if I'm honest. But those graphic novels, those early superhero comic books, that was a pleasure. And it was the kind of financial reward that for me, you know, in terms of money earned from doing house chores and et cetera.
Did you have to do chores for that pocket money?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, mowing lawns and, you know, cleaning kitchens and washing dishes and all
that
stuff.
Were you any good at that?
No, Absolutely not.
So it was charity, really, by your parents.
Absolutely.
Let's make him pretend that he's good at it. We'll tidy up the mess later.
And learning to do it with a smile, and so that you didn't get a little snot clap around the back of the head, that lent me, you know, kind of paved the way for becoming a better actor as well.
Of course. Very important to be able to keep a straight face when it's, correct. It's important. Where did you develop your sense of humor?
I think that's always been around. I don't know how developed it was when I started, but the idea of wanting people to laugh at me was certainly a strong drive. And I don't know where that came from, but from a very young age, I have clear memories of doing little sketches or pratfalling but wanting people to laugh at me. And I was, when we were in Funderbell Park, Boswell Wilkie Circus came to visit. And I remember seeing the clowns and being absolutely transported and wildly excited by that. And then saying to my folks that I'd like to become a clown. And that was about 5 or 6. And then maybe about 7 years after that, I am very clearly saying to my mom, well, surely it's time now to run away with the circus because time's marching on. I'm already 12. It seems to me that, and just the shock on her face as she realized that I was being very kind of adamant about this ambition of mine. So, right, and by the time I was in standard 5, I knew I was going to do theater. You know, I sat my folks down and said, I'd love to do acting. And again, for parents who perhaps had no inkling or no real desire or interest in that particular area of life, they were very supportive. They kind of said, okay, well, go for that. Just do something that'll back you up, which is why I then also became decided to become a high school teacher.
You became a high school teacher?
I did. I'm a qualified high school teacher. I taught for 5 years.
Who unleashed you on children?
Can you believe it? Isn't that a frightening thought?
It is terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. But a great way, again, to learn how to deal with an audience, because a captive audience...
There's no harder crowd.
And you can quickly work out how audiences, how groups of people develop certain traits. So you just need one kid in a class who, for example, always likes to ask questions or... is kind of contrary to everything, or equally somebody who's just delightful and bubbly and high-spirited, that immediately characterizes that group of people. And equally, when you go out on stage, within 45 seconds, you kind of know what the next hour and a half will be about.
Have you ever gone on stage and gone, oh my goodness me, it's a 40-minute show tonight?
Yes. When you think this is, I should just, I need to miss my deadline for abdication.
There we go. I want to find out from Alan Committee in a moment, All so right. Keep your powder dry. What was the first joke he was paid money to tell? How much was he paid? But that's coming up in just a moment.
The Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Alan Committee, who's a stellar comedian. He's been a stellar comedian for an awfully long time. He's got a new show coming up in December. And he grew up reading comics and he had to do odd jobs at home, not very well, for comic money. So that's where he got his comic relief. So what was the first gag? What was the audience and how much did you get paid? And when?
I think it might have been, I mean, other than doing stuff at school, the house plays and the school plays, where obviously you wouldn't necessarily have got paid. I remember a good friend of mine at Westerford High School, which is where I graduated from. In our first couple of months out of matric, we decided this is a time to go to the waterfront in Cape Town and to busk our fantastic skills and to share it with the greater Cape Town community. They would be desperate to see how brilliant we were. So we put together this ridiculous little program of about 25 minutes, which included a double act comedy duo where we kind of interviewed each other, Tim and Jim's tea show or something ridiculous like that. And then I do remember as well, we broke into a musical interlude where I think we sang Two Little Boys, the Rolf Harris, I know, don't start, just leave it alone.
I'm not touching
it. We can't. We don't have. Well, that's what he said. So now I just think it's kind of tricky. So we went out to the waterfront. It was windy. And the guy who was running the entertainment at that stage was looking for kind of new buskers. So in his stupidity, he gave us a slot where we could try our wares. And we went around the waterfront for about 2 days. I think over the 2 days where we were maybe busking for about 5 or 6 hours every day, we probably made about $50. And I remember it was sitting in our polystyrene boater hat. And we were just about to count it. It was in $50 in loose change. And a wind came up and just blew it into the harbor. So we never even saw that money. And if that doesn't tell you that I should have stopped right then I don't know.
But you made a living.
No, I did. And I tell you what was fascinating was a year later, or in fact, a year and a half later, I'd started at UCT and was studying drama and teaching. I had this idea that And I'll never forget, I thought, I love Shakespeare, and I've always wanted to do a Richard III, or at that stage, kind of thought that would be a fun thing to do, but also realized no one would ever cast me. And I just remember thinking, I'll write a one-man Richard III. And that little seed kind of grew over a year and a half. And by the time I'd finished 2 years, by the time I'd finished drama school, I did that. And that was kind of the start of it all, because as I look back now, and you sometimes only have that hindsight when you look back and you think, wow, thank goodness I was stupid or brave enough to do that. But to get up onto stage and to do something on your own, to write something which, you know, no one had ever told me I was a writer before, or indeed was good enough to create anything. But to take whatever it cost me, I think it cost me about 2,500 rand all in to get my show to Grahamstown for 5 performances. But I remember making 3,000 rand. I made 500 rand profit. Profit. Which immediately I then split and tried to do a little run in Cape Town, and I made another 1,000 rand profit, which meant next year I could put some extra money into the show and go for longer. And again, you look back and you go, thank goodness I didn't have the knowledge of how hard it would be later on, and I just did it. But that's often what I tell younger comics. You know, you've got to do it. Work begets work.
It is. That's quite a serious comment, actually.
There we go. Work begets work. Lesson number one.
Work. Biggest money, best money decision ever. I mean, do comics have retirement annuities?
Well, because I'm quite conservative, and I keep thinking back to my folks and how they looked after their money. And, you know, I was lucky enough to go through varsity, through scholarship and bursaries, both a teacher one and one other. And that, you know, I paid back the teacher bursary, and the other one was a pure scholarship. I was very grateful. Otherwise, I would never have got a tertiary education. So I'm very aware of those kind of hardships that lie ahead. So, yeah, I've invested in money in all kinds of retirement annuities and little unit trusts and things that, you know, hopefully will help me one day. I try to look after stuff. But equally, because of, this is quite interesting, because things that I wasn't allowed to have when I was young, for example, Coca-Cola. My dad was a big brandy and Coke drinker. Of course he was. He was in the Navy. And we always had a bottle of Coke, but it was only for him. Maybe we might allow one glass of Coke a week for us as a treat at a meal. But it meant that it's the one thing I would try and steal from the fridge when no one was looking. Today, I am a Coca-Cola addict. Because now, of course, I just buy it freely.
Because you can.
Because I can. Isn't it weird how pop psychology plays itself out?
No, it does. Absolutely. Worst money decision ever. Have you made some blunders?
I guess so. Sometimes you put stuff in shows, you know. People, I was always told to invest in what you know. So, you know, I kind of thought, do I invest in more property? I don't really know that market that well. Obviously, there's kind of broad investment decisions you can make. But I know shows, and so I try and help. You know, if it's not just my own shows, I'll sometimes invest in other shows. And for the most part, I think they've done all right, especially in the kind of current climate. But every now and then you put some money into something and you go, wow, looking back, did I ever think that was going to work? I can't believe I made that decision. So there've been one or two of those that haven't quite taken off. But again, I try and do it in a way that's conservative. Well, I guess the rule is you might be willing to lose that money. You know, if it makes you some money, that's good. If it doesn't, you have to take that risk calculatedly.
Yeah, big words.
Good word.
Have you ever, I mean, other than taking Coke and mainlining it and expensive needles into your veins, Coca-Cola.
Yes, Coca-Cola, yes, of course, yes.
Into your veins. Do you have any other bad money habits?
I can't walk out of, I think this is a good money habit, but I can't walk out of a DVD or bookshop without buying stuff still to this day.
Are there still DVD shops?
Can you believe it? And I have a room filled with them. So maybe that's kind of got less now as we've got hard drives and we download stuff everywhere and we stream everything. But books is still a real, I don't see it as a vice, but it's a pleasure vice, if you will. But the problem with it, the reason it becomes a vice is because I don't get around to reading them.
Nah.
So next to my bed, I literally have between anything from 25 to 35 books.
What's on top?
Right now, very guiltily, the new Dan Brown, only because I'm doing a sketch on it in Planet Mirth, and I keep having to try and read another 10 pages, and I can't.
You're like the guy who goes into the sex shop and you get caught and you get told, yes. No, you say it's for research, right?
Well, then listen, I have. When I did Titanic on Ice, we had to do a section, and I had to play me and Kate Winslet. So I was playing Leonardo DiCaprio, and I thought it'd be great if I had a blow-up doll as Kate Winslet. And I went to the sex shop in Cape Town, and as I came out, Herschel parents, and I was teaching at Herschel, came past, and they went, what are you? And I was like, no, it's for a show. I don't know if they still believe me. I don't even know if I believe me sometimes.
Alan Committee, What a wonderful time I've spent with you this evening. Thank you so much. Good luck with the new show. When does it
Thank
kick off and
very
where?
Much. 2 weeks' time. It's on the 5th of December at Theatre on the Bay in Cape Town. We run right through December to the middle of Jan. We have a Christmas Eve show, so come along and spend some fun. And then I bring it to Joburg immediately afterwards, halfway through Jan, I think the 19th of Jan through to the 25th of Feb at Monte Casino.
Alan Committee, thank you so much for joining us on Make Money Mondays.